Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFBA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is the Virginia Renaissance Fair this morning, and only a couple of more weeks left. Cornelia Rutherford of the Virginia Renaissance Fair, you and I start having shows generally in February or March, and to reach the last of these scheduled shows always makes me sad.
And it's always a surprise. I mean, we have 2 weekends left. How did that happen?
How did that happen?
Right. So get your tickets now. They're only online. So.
And get your tickets now because, once again, this year, the interest and the numbers have just been spectacular. People love the Virginia Renaissance Fair.
Yes. And it's been one record breaker after another. Even the day that it rained all day long, we had 1,000 more people than we had ever had for a rain day. It was amazing.
So get your tickets in advance. And I know every weekend you put things up as reminders. You can't just go up to the gate and try to get in.
Get your ticket online at varf.org and then either print out your email with the QR code or do a screenshot on your phone. Don't think you're going to bring it up on your phone when you get to the site. You're not. Take a screenshot in light mode, because if you have your phone set to dark mode, QR codes can't be read by anybody.
I didn't know that until the Virginia Renaissance Fair this year, and when you explained that, I tried it out, and I thought, you can't see it.
Right. Well, we didn't know that either, but we've been trying to get the word out because I don't want you standing in line trying to get in the gate. I want you to go in and have a good time.
Everybody that I know that has been to the fair this year has had a great time. They just come away and just say they can't get over how
and
much
it's
fun
huge
they have.
This year. It is absolutely huge. We have, I think, 30% more vendors than we've ever had. We've got a big cast. Our new cast members hit the ground running. I mean, it was like they were veterans after the second week. It was amazing. And we've got a great staff. We still have room for volunteers, but our volunteer crew has been spot on. It's been a fantastic year.
You brought a couple of guests this morning.
I did.
As you always do. And I've met some new friends.
Yeah. Well, Fox came. When did you?
My second year.
This is your second year. I don't know. Her first year, it was like she'd always been there. So I didn't know. And then how did she lure you in, sir?
Well, I came last year when she was performing, and I had such a great time that I decided I couldn't not give it a go.
What an interesting way, though, Cameron, to fall into this, to have her. Did she try to recruit you before you went to the fair?
No, but another cast member did. We have the townsfolk manager, Trip Lloyd. A good friend of mine from local theater here in downtown Fredericksburg.
Yeah.
And he kept pressuring me, and I finally did give in to the pressure.
Have you had a great time?
I have. It's been a blast. A lot of really, really friendly people, and I enjoy every moment of it.
Fox, what got you involved in it? How did you find out and go through the process to become part of the Virginia Renaissance Fair?
Well, coming from Maryland, I've been to the Maryland Renaissance Fair, and I thought, man, that must be so neat to be on cast. And years down the line, here we are. I know Trip through we were on an improv team together and came and auditioned, and here I am. You get to do 8 hours of improv, and you get to add to the value of, you know, a whole family's life in one day.
Before you got here, Cornelia, we were talking, and I said to them just how it goes so fast, but it's a commitment all these weeks, and I said in some ways it must be a relief, and Fox said no, she said when it's over I miss everyone.
It's an enormous commitment. A lot of people audition every year. We get a lot of people who join the cast, and by the first rehearsal, a third of them have dropped out because they just didn't realize what a commitment it is. The training, you know, is a lot of times if you take a class, you go once, twice a week for an hour, hour and a half. Mm-hmm. Well, our training is 3 to 4 weekends of total immersion before we open the fair. So you're getting a year's worth of rather spectacular theatrical and historical training in 3 weeks, 3 weekends. And it's total immersion. It has worked for languages. It works great for our training. So by the time we open that gate and shake up the new cast and throw them to the wolves, man, are they ready. It's great. But it's a big commitment. There's 5 weekends of the fair. There's 3 to 4 weekends of rehearsals ahead of time. And then the last Saturday after the last weekend is teardown, when we put the whole show to bed, and that little village of Staffordshire just becomes an empty field again.
That's so interesting, because somebody, I don't know where I saw it, and but there was a drone picture of
yes
of everything, and boy, what a great view that was of all the, like you say, all the vendors, just the Shire, and it was spectacular to see it all.
I have no idea who took that picture, but thank you, it's wonderful. Contact me offline, and I'm gonna like permission to use it.
Kevin Hedgecock posted it.
No, what he so posted it, but he didn't take it. Yeah, Kevin didn't take it. But I have seen people with drones at the winery, so one of them did it.
So it's the other thing is, and I've gotten pissed. I used to always think on rainy weekends, oh, the poor Renaissance Fair today. But you always told me,
when it rains, we shine.
Yes, yes. And that always happens, and people show up and have a great time.
There were people, 2,700 plus patrons showed up on that incredible, horrible rain day. And a lot of them said to me, oh no, as soon as we realized it was going to rain all day, we bought our tickets. Because it's a more intimate show.
Yeah.
And you're scooting from tent to tent to tent. You pop under a tent, and there's a cast member, there's a vendor, there's a stage entertainer. Somebody's under that tent, and you get to meet all these people a little bit closer and without the big crowds. Although almost 3,000 people in the rain was a big crowd.
Yeah. Shakespeare and Fantasy Weekend this weekend?
It is. It's Shakespeare Fantasy.
So.
Lots of fairies and whatnot, I'm sure, will come out to play.
Lake Anna Winery this Saturday and Sunday, just 2 more weeks, and then June 8th and 9th wraps up the 2024 Virginia Renaissance Fair. Cornelia Rutherford is here, Fox, Milo Cornell, and Cameron Cornell, and we're going to hear their story and get into some of the things that they're doing with the Renaissance Fair when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Cornelia Rutherford is here, Fox, Milo Cornell, and Cameron Cornell from the Virginia Renaissance Fair, barf.org. You can get all kinds of information and great information on Facebook, too. And again, we cannot say it enough. Get your tickets right now. Get them online. That's the only way you're going to get in.
Sold out means sold out.
That's another one.
You can call me. 112 people did in an hour and 30 minutes last weekend. But sold out is, in fact, sold out.
Sold out. So you've only got 2 more weekends, 4 more days left.
That's right. And I just can't believe how fast it's gone. The weather's been great with that one day, and even then we broke a record. So
yeah,
I got no complaints.
Been a great year for the Virginia Renaissance Fair, and it's been great because every year, Cornelia, you bring in different people that have different skills and stories to tell, and it's fabulous to hear it. Fox, I'll start off with you. As far as you getting involved with the Renaissance Fair, when you talked about having gone to you had some experience with the Maryland Fair, when you started getting involved, what were some of your thoughts with this one?
Like Cornelia said, you realize this isn't a small commitment, and it's not just learning, you know, honing your improv skills. It's not just the dialect. It's building a backstory, weaving it with other people's backstories, and the costume. Man, that is a huge hurdle to overcome that first year, especially because it has to be conforming. And We have a wonderful costume lead, Kirsten, and she just does an amazing job of making sure everybody's supported through that process, even though it is daunting sometimes.
What's your role? What do you play in the fair?
In the fair, I play Master Tristan Roberts. I am a spice merchant, so I carry along spices that I can talk about, ones that would be representative of the era.
You have brought some show and tell things that we'll get into in the next segment. I want to have you talk about those. How long, you know, learning and you know, developing a character? How long does? I guess that's an ongoing thing.
It is. The first is just to create that scaffolding and be at least up and running by that first week, so that you can do some of the basics. And some of the interactions with the other townsfolk, the nobles, understanding the pageantry and things like that, so that when, you know, when the time comes and it's opening day, you're at the gate and you make that experience for somebody.
And I guess as Cornelia described all the how much back work you're doing and all that you're doing, that by the time it does open, you have some rapport with everyone, and you've got confidence that you're not just, well, let's see how this goes.
Yeah, yeah. You build those partnerships one by one, and it's wonderful to walk through the town with one of your castmates and do a little bit of a story, have an interaction.
Did you ever think you and Cameron would do it together?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You knew eventually it would happen.
I was going to work on him, yeah.
So you mentioned, you know, Cameron getting involved. How once you started getting immersed in this, you obviously liked it.
Oh, I absolutely love it. I actually had no idea it would be so improv heavy, and myself and Fox did an improv troupe prior to this, and to be able to kind of draw on those same skills has been really what's been driving me forward. It's the most fun part of it. In fact, when we were first immersing ourselves and we had kind of a group session where we were discussing how we were going to develop characters, we had to think about our motivations, and one of our group chose to be a merchant, and he was just struggling with the name. And he picked up a pencil, and it was broken. And somebody suggested that his name should be Shoddy for Shoddy Wares.
Yeah.
And that kind of groupthink really is a lot of fun.
Okay, bet. So what character do you play?
I play a lawyer. I go by Henri Walton. And my inside little secret is that my mom was in love with a Frenchman, and so my name is not Henry, it's Henri. Most of my time I spend at the Court of Love or the Court of Common Pleas during the day. It's been a lot of fun.
So you two don't interact during the show or during the fair, do you? Do you interact?
We do.
Oh, you do. Okay.
Especially since we're both on the townsfolk, there are three different groups. There's nobility, townsfolk, and then the militia. Since we're both on the townsfolk, we interact quite a bit.
Okay.
So for dance calls, we'll be at the Maypole together. We don't dance together because we are both male-presenting characters. So that's kind of fun, you know, to smile across the Maypole circle at each other and dance with patrons. So.
Just those little things, Cornelia, I think, you know, would the memories that they make individually.
I asked them to come because they came to us with a theater background, scripted theater mainly. And this is not scripted theater. This is very different. I can't do scripted theater because I have a memory like a colander. Everything just falls out. but improv will get you all kinds of places. And when they auditioned, when she first auditioned, I sort of thought, well, Tripp said she would be good, but she's scripted cast, and I've watched scripted characters come apart when they have to do 8 hours of improv. It's really hard because there's no fourth wall.
Mm-hmm.
if you are a stage performer, you're on a stage, and then there's the great black unknown where the people sit, and they could be on Mars for all you care. They're there, but they're not close. Whereas in our show, people can come up and touch you, and your theater is 360-degree theater. You have to remember that even though you may be playing to the person in front and to the sides of you, you have to project for the people behind you because they're part of your audience too. So there's a very different process that you go through. But these two came on board and totally embraced it. It just brought it in and took all their regular theatrical skills and enhanced what they do with the improv. It's really special to see.
Was it difficult to leave improv behind for this?
No, to leave script behind? No, I still scripted theater on the side as well. So I get that fix. This is just something different, and it's I like it because it keeps my mind sharp and active, and I never know what somebody's going to say or how they're going to react to anything. I could be in a conversation about cats or birds or dragons or, you know, medieval court or the queen or food, anything. You never know what's going to come. So it can be, you know, like it's constant. It's you would reach the end of the day so satisfied but exhausted.
Oh, I'm sure you know. I was just going to say, and I'm sure there are times when not knowing things and you come up with some lines or responses that are really clever and you're really happy with them. And I guess as you go along, a lot of times you can probably reuse. I mean, some of the questions would be the same, you know.
Yeah, you can have some rote materials that you call upon. But my favorite thing to do is just to find a child who has dressed up, especially the young ladies come in and they're dressed up as maidens or fairies, and to give them a full reverence, my lady, and you know, it kind of blows them away. They realize they're in a different place right now.
Right. Yeah. Cameron, how about for you? Not having a script, how's that worked for you?
I was a little nervous about it at first. Actually, when I went out for the audition, the roles that were open to me, I was hoping to get yeoman, which is a king's guard or queen's guard rather, and it pretty much doesn't say anything all day and follows the queen around. And I was like, oh, well, that's the perfect role for me. First year, I can just kind of absorb what's going on, but. Really, they just thought I had too much talent to waste it in standing still and quiet all day, and I sincerely appreciate that. But there's definitely been times I've been stuck, and having like one or two tricks in your bag to lean back on is very helpful. And my favorite is I'll walk up to parents with strollers, and I'll be like, "Oh, a mobile prison! what offenses did this one commit today?" And it's just an excellent point to, you know, break open conversation, and you never know where you'll end up.
Well, and the other thing is, and I know just from the years of working with Cornelia, whether it's her experience or there's so many people with the Renaissance Fair who've been doing this for so long, they must be a big help that you've got. The whole organization can help you get over some of those hurdles.
Oh, absolutely. There's insane amounts of talent there. And some of the bits are so creative that you can't help but find inspiration in them. In particular, I love Finn DeBries. He's one of our cast. He's second to Trip with the Townsfolk. And he's just got so many excellent one-liners. It's a hard act to follow.
And that's what makes, I mean, it's just, you always talk about this, Cornelia, it's just, there's, you're going to walk away from the Renaissance Fair with, you're going to learn something, but you're going to have a great time.
The fun thing is, you're going to learn something without really realizing that you're learning it, and that's the fun thing, because we are actually a nonprofit for education, mm-hmm. and there's myriad educational opportunities throughout the fair. Along with all the fun stuff, I mean, we make the education fun. The other part is having that one-on-one or one-on-small group interaction with the cast members. I realize that our cast are all volunteers, but that does not make them any less professional. These are professional improv actors, and I would put them up against pretty much anybody.
And the exciting thing every year about you, Cornelia, is when you get new people come in and that embrace it and just go for it, that just excites you. I mean, that's, you get so excited every year by a lot of the new people, because you'll always tell me, oh, we have so and so this year, you know, and you're, that really keeps
it
you going.
It does. Okay, this isn't everybody's gig, and I get that. If it's, my husband is a great promoter of my fair, as long as I don't make him come. And that's okay. It's not his thing. That said, it always excites me to see people who come with, I don't know what I'm getting into. And after the first weekend of rehearsals, which is a little like taking a sip of water out of a fire hose, because we throw it all on you, they are so excited. And they're like, their eyes have been opened, hallelujah. And they are just so excited. But I think the best part is when we bring people in and they do the training and they learn how to do this interaction with complete strangers, that's something that serves them well their entire life in all kinds of situations. You never know when you're suddenly going to be in a situation at work, at school, in some sort of social situation where someone has to step up and speak, and you can do it.
Grace.
Yeah.
It's grace under pressure. You learn it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. It's so interesting.
Incredible confidence. And the kids, you know, we brought the twins in last time, Destiny mm-hmm. and Cheyenne, and their dad, Valerian, who's last year was his first year as a silent yeoman. He's not so silent this year. He's venturing out of that shell.
That's
and
what
the
it
girls,
seems. That happens
course.
All. It is, though. Those kids, I mean, they were just phenomenal last week of how they can step up and speak. And like you say, that just would in life give you so many skills.
It is. And our director, Chris Pantaze's daughter, started in the fair as a prop in swaddling clothes as a new, actually, she was there in utero. And she is now a freshman at George Mason. That beautiful, talented, incredibly intelligent young woman is an absolute force of nature. A lot of it is the genetics, because her parents are. But a lot of it, too, and I'm going to take credit for this, is having, she has grown up in the fair. When she was 5 or 6, she went up to a little girl patron and said, so what's your home fair? Because she thought everyone had a home fair. And she's now this unbelievable young woman who is taking George Mason by storm. And
she's phenomenal. She always impresses upon me that no matter what's going on at the fair, she has such poise. She knows what she's about, yep. And she knows the ins and outs. She knows exactly how to say every single thing that you would need to, you know, our guests when, you know, we've got lines or unexpected, you know.
She's so comfortable. So comfortable, yeah. And confident. And she helps others, the new ones, along with that. And having had the experience to watch her grow from mm-hmm. literally a babe in arms is just so, that's the really exciting part.
If you have kids and they have time, and you ought to push them.
I think so.
To do
I'm all
this.
In favor of soccer and baseball and all that stuff, but this is something.
This is
even
a life
if you only
skill.
Do it, your son was with us.
Mm-hmm.
This is a life skill.
Yeah.
And it not only teaches you that grace under pressure, like Fox said, but it teaches you how to. We teach a lot of history, and different skills and. It teaches you how to take what you have learned on a theoretical or a book basis and apply it all through your life.
Practical application.
Yes. Yep.
VARF.org for the Virginia Renaissance Fair. Two more weekends to go. More coming up by News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:31.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
We are talking Virginia Renaissance Fair this morning. Cameron Cornell is here along with Fox Mila Cornell and Cornelia Rutherford. They are all part of the Virginia Renaissance Fair, VARF.org. Two more weekends. This weekend, June 1st and 2nd, June 8th and 9th. The last two weekends of the Virginia Renaissance Fair at the Lake Anna Winery. Get your tickets in advance. You have to get them online. And before we get out of here this morning, I'll have Cornelia again explain what you need to either print it out or show it on your phone. We'll go through all of that before we get out of here. We have we always bring props. I'll record some of this and we'll put it on YouTube and Facebook. But I'll start with you, Fox. That you have a lot of stuff.
This is
in front of you.
This is my belt that I wear every day. I do have the short sword. It is piece tied, so it's safe. But I am the spice merchant at the fair, so I always have my spices. They are spices that you would have found then as now. Saffron is one of my favorite because it's like gold. It is one of the most expensive substances on earth. It always was. Difficult to get, and since I'm one of the few that have traveled at the fair in the Shire, the Staffordshire, I speak of this is the smell of España. So you know, I can be a little more dramatic.
I can see
that. Explanations about you know what these spices are. I can you know make jokes about well you know if you've got somebody that you know you don't want to see anymore on the side you know find me in the pub later so you know I can have a lot of fun with just you know some simple props you know salt pepper sugar I can talk about you know travel to the new world and things like that
to put all this together how long did it you know you not only had to put all this together, you had to learn about this and be able to, you know, talk about it.
I drew on one of my personal, you know, favorite topics is spicing and things like that. So really it was, you know, that ramp up time where we're training. It's not just the weekends. We are studying. We are Googling for our lives. And we're trying to procure period appropriate props and things that will work. So it was about the two and a half months of work to put together some of these. And then, you know, like the short sword that I got at the fair. So you can kind of can start with a base and add on just like you would in any game.
I never thought about the fact that, you know, besides the weekends, I mean, just the homework part of this, you almost have to.
If you want to be prepared. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So the cup, is there any story with the cup there?
No, I happen to have purchased that this season from Trinkets, one of my favorite tents at the fair. And it happens to have my birthday on here with the name Michael, which is similar to my real given name. And I thought, well, that's kind of funny. So, you know, this is what we carry around. Usually we'll have water. They're kind enough to also supply Gatorade to make sure that we don't lose our minds in the heat. So, yeah, that's part of what I wear. And then many of us have a pouch where we keep all of our essentials, Lady MasterCard or, you know, anything that we need in case we want to purchase food or wares. I personally keep my inhaler in here. I don't usually need it, but if you ever see a red bag that on site usually indicates that there's something for medical reasons in there for that cast or crew member.
So is this bag that you've had this year, I guess you've added to it then, so it's different than if we'd been doing this a year ago.
Yeah, I came a little bit ahead of the curve. The belt is from my father. I stole it years ago as part of my inheritance. The bag I got for a visit to Ren Faire in Maryland, and the rest has been purchased online or at our own fair.
And I'm sure having done this now for 2 years, you're always looking you know, even after the Ren Fair, if you were to see something in a shop or see something at a yard sale and think, right. Hey, I can incorporate that.
Absolutely. You see things and sometimes you think that would be a fun bit, but a fun aspect of my character or neat little story I can tell. The latest thing that I'm looking for is a nice antique watch where we try to keep them obscured and older looking so that it doesn't totally break that fourth wall. But, it gets a little tiresome to go, how stands the hour every 30 minutes to try and figure out what time it is at the fair.
Right. Cameron, what about you as far as setting up, building a costume? How did that go for you?
That was a big deal for me, actually. So when I got into this at the audition, I sat down with, Kirsten. I have such difficulty with that. But I sat down with Kirsten and talked about the costume and discovered at the time that I would be part of the emerging middle class in Elizabethan England. And the time period is set right around 1580. And at that time, as a lawyer, I would have been somewhat wealthy as long as my practice was successful. And for that reason, I had a lot of leeway for the kinds of choices I could make for my costume. And so that made me really nervous because I was hoping that I could get, a very basic Renaissance shirt off of Amazon and, kind of plod forward. Well, fast forward, we're 2 weeks into rehearsals and I'm like, okay, I have to really button down and get serious about this search. And I got with Kirsten and did a little research and I purchased a book about Elizabethan costuming.
Ten books.
Okay, I did purchase 10 books, no lie.
I've got even more. We can swap.
I've got some excellent ones. Patterns of Fashion.
Oh, yes.
Elizabethan England, 1580 to
1600. Janet Arnold, she actually, before she died, she toured Europe and got into the tombs and actually photographed extant garments.
It's one of the most beautiful books.
She was brilliant. Her last book, her fifth one, I think, was published by the Victoria and Albert after her death. But that one is also, it's got the accoutrements.
Oh, wow. I'll have to look for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also purchased some by the Tudor Taylor. I don't recall his name, but he does have a lot of excellent information that you can't find elsewhere about methods of, creating the garments, like how to baste properly based on the time period. But the ultimate thing I'm trying to say here is I thought I could purchase something and it was not at all feasible in the time period that I had. So I dove in deep and learned how to sew.
He did a spectacular job.
Really?
I've got to tell you.
We are costume Nazis.
And he did an incredible job. And he initially had his doublet pinned because he didn't have clasps yet. And that's when I got the codpiece out saying, this is perfect because that is actually appropriate. And I have an excuse to bring the codpiece.
That is amazing, though.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. When I dive into something, I tend to dive in deep. And I based a lot of what I was doing on the patterns from the Elizabethan costuming book. And I wanted to do more, but limited time and limited resources when you're working full time and you're volunteering.
And nine cats.
Yeah, and nine cats and a wife and a house. Things catch up to you.
What's so interesting, Cameron, about your story is that you wanted to be a yeoman and you didn't have any lines for the first year. And you didn't get that, and so everything has been bigger than you were always hoping for a little bit easier route to get into this, and it hasn't worked out that way, and you've embraced it.
Yeah, and it's really been a blessing. I'm a little bit trepidatious about being a lawyer though, because it seems like people don't like lawyers very much.
Is it
He's not a very good lawyer anyway?
Do you like having be in a character like that at times you could be disliked by people watching?
Yeah, it's definitely part of the gig. I think that when you're in court, giving somebody an option to have a whipping post really is just as useful as building someone up. So it's nice to have kind of, what's the right word for it? Like the sonic screwdriver on Doctor Who, automatic plot untangling device.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, wow. What?
And he can be a comedic villain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, when the situation warrants. And we don't want our villains to be too villainy. Even Bobby, God love him, is a comedic villain this year.
I have, it's his character just amazes me that he's been able to, Bobby's been able to change characters like that.
I know. And he's wonderful at it. However, he's missed 2 weeks because he's been sick.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. It is the Virginia Renaissance Fair, VARF.org, for more information on getting tickets for the last two performances. You've got a few things, Cornelia. I usually don't get items from you, so this is a treat.
Well, this is something that I've had for a while that I thought Cameron could use if he guards it with his life. This is a pocketbook, and you have a belt. This would slide up under the belt, and the knob would hold it onto your belt because it's trapped.
Yeah.
But the book has a latch. It's leather, and it has a latch. And then you would have writing utensils. You would have ladies would carry their psalms books in there. But as a barrister, you could perhaps have your book where you would take notes on various people and what you needed to do with them. You'll notice here, this is for my cell phone because as the CEO, I can't seem to leave it home without it ever. But
it works.
It is made by Christy Moore. She's a local gal, and she has a business where she restores old and ancient books she's brilliant at it. She works for all kinds of people with very special books. So I thought perhaps Cameron would like to try that this weekend. And then the other thing that Cameron inspired me by, when he finished his costume, he did not have clasps for the front of his jerkin or doublet, so he had it pinned together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the beginning of the 16th century, we had buttons. We thought they were nice decorations. We put buttons all over everything. And it only later occurred that, you know, if you make a loop with a piece of cord and put your button on this side, you can use buttons to close your garment.
Yeah, you could.
Until then, they used pins. Well, if you look at portraits from earlier in the period, you see gentlemen having something like this on the front of their trousers. It's called a codpiece, and it's not for your cod, although it is very suggestive thereof. It actually was a place so that the gentlemen could store their pins and extra pins and keep their garments together. So by the time of Elizabeth, codpieces were pretty out of style. You only saw them on older gentlemen who had still been wearing them.
Okay. Hopefully that never comes back.
Well, I love doing this. I love doing this when I'm doing my costume thing late in the day, and I go, they used them for this, and half my audience disappears.
Yeah. Definitely.
Cringing that who decided that was the best location to be sticking pins?
Well, it's very... Well, it's because you've got all the gentlemen have all the belt schmutz around their waist.
Yeah.
And pretty much the one place that they don't have something that isn't part of their person hanging is the codpiece.
Right.
Area. That's about the only place, because they've got their pouches, their bags, their sword, their main gauche from their back, which was a big dagger, all that stuff. They don't have anywhere else to keep those pins, and the pins are important. You need to be put together.
Yeah. Fascinating stuff. And like you said, there's the Virginia Renaissance Fair is fun, but it's also there's the education component.
And that's one of the things we teach when we're training, is we make sure everyone understands that part of their character is as an educator, and they have to do their research so that their character is really acting the part, and if they have one or two fun facts, that'll see them through the entire day.
Interesting. You just that's all you need to do. So do you think that next year you want to be a lawyer, Cameron?
I think I'll continue to be a lawyer. It's a lot of fun, and it puts me in a station where I can do a lot with my costume, and I'm enjoying that endeavor so much that I'd really like to embroider it and slash it and really make it something even twice as wonderful as what I've already done.
Fox, do you stay with spices, do you think?
I think I stay with spices, but I could be persuaded perhaps to be upwardly mobile into the noble court.
I wondered. As soon as I asked you that question, that pause, I thought, if I'm noticing there's a pause
that
there,
weedy pause.
Cornelia is noticing there's a pause. And
I did.
So, interesting. Cornelia Rutherford, Fox Milo Cornell, and Cameron Cornell here this morning. The Virginia Renaissance Fair, VARF.org, Lake Anna Winery this weekend and next week. And we'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Virginia Renaissance Fair this weekend and next weekend, VARF.org. Again, Cornelia Rutherford, get your tickets online. And when you go to the gate, there are a couple things you need to know.
Right. You get your tickets online. We are not set up to sell tickets at the gate. You must get them online. And then when you receive an email that has a QR code on it, you will print said email. Or if you want to carry it on your phone, you'll take a screenshot when you're at home and have cell service. Take a screenshot in light mode, because dark mode makes the QR code unreadable, not just by us, by anybody. So change your phone to light mode, take a screenshot, save it in your gallery, and then you can bring that up. Don't think you're going to be able to bring up that email when you get to the fair site. There is no cell service. And that is my public service announcement.
Before we get out of here, it is a tradition, and we have waited until the last of these shows that we do, but the end of the Renaissance Fair is just, if you have not ever seen it, you ought to, because it will give you goosebumps.
The end of our show is a staple. I think we're the only show out there that has an ending quite like it. It's after the pubs sing and everybody's up, but this is where we use Shakespeare to tell you a little about who we are. And it's a speech from The Tempest. Our revels now are ended. These, as I foretold, are actors and are melted into air.
Into thin air.
And like the baseless fabric of this vision, the cloud-capped towers, the gorgeous palaces, the solemn temples,
the great globe itself,
yea, all which it inherit, shall dissolve. And like this insubstantial pageant faded, leave not a rake behind. We are such stuff as dreams are made on, and our little lives are rounded with a sleep. Merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again. Huzzah.
Huzzah.
And then everyone walks out, and it's just, it's really something. And you described the pub sing before that is so good,
and it always wraps up with the bagpipes dancing on the tables and the drummers drumming with the patrons. It's pretty wild, isn't it?
Yeah. I've done a couple of videos with it, and I will post those up there just to see that, because it really is, and it's the day at the Virginia Renaissance Fair, no matter what the weather, you will have a great time.
I hope so, and I hope you learn something, and I hope it makes you want to come back again and again and tell your friends.
VARF.org, Cornelia Rutherford here, Fox Milo Cornell, and Cameron Cornell. Great to have you two in here this morning, and just your stories about how you're relatively new to this Renaissance Fair, and just improv itself, how you've just adjusted. Great stories.
Thank you for having us.
And I thank you for bringing the props in, and just the enthusiasm. And Cameron, as a lawyer, the story of you learning how to how to sew to be able to make your costume. What a classic story with the Virginia Renaissance Fair.
Thank you. Did a really, really good job. I mean, first time out of the gate, and that's what he made. I'm blown away.
Two more weeks. Don't miss it. VARF.org. Cornelia, thank you.
Thank you, Ted. See you soon.
Thank you all for coming, and we'll see you soon. Thank you for listening. See you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.